Let's just jump into this sermon here today. We're in the middle of a series called Come On God, and we're believing that God wants to do a new thing, a fresh thing in our life, in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite television shows as a teenager and growing up was a show called Home Improvement, and Tim Allen was the name of the actor that played the character. Actually, it was Tim Arnold who played the am I getting this right? Tim Taylor is the name of the character in the show. I got to get this right. Tim Allen was the actor, and it was called Home Improvement. Now, one of the pieces of the show is that he did a television show for a tool company called Benford Tools, and he was always into home improvement. So for Tim, the dishwasher was not good enough in and of itself. For Tim, the lawnmower wasn't good enough in and of itself. The family garbage disposal wasn't good enough in and of itself. You know, his theme was it always needed... Who watched the show? More what? More power. You know, so he put a gasoline engine in the garbage disposal, and I think he was using it as a chipper shredder at the same time. He put a diesel engine or gasoline, Corvette engine on the family mower and did the same thing to the dishwasher. I mean, he was always believing that whatever he was looking at needed more power, and then he would finish with a ah, 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 like that. And so we just want to have that kind of inner spiritual conversation, connection with God that says, I want more power in my life, God. Come and do a new thing. I'm not satisfied with the old. I'm not satisfied with where I am right now. I need a supernatural upgrade in my heart and in my spirit. So we're going to dive right into Scripture. If you're taking notes, you can do that in your bulletin. You can get out your smartphones and go to the YouVersion Bible app. All kinds of ways you can follow along today. Or you can get out your Bibles and crack those open too. And just greetings to those from our internet campus around the world. Praise be to God. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 17 here. It says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. With what? With God's love. With God's power. What I love in verse 18, it says, hey, that you might have power together with all of the Lord's holy people. So God's intentions is to power you up in his spirit and to power up his church in his spirit. What do you think that means? God's desire, together with all the Lord's holy people. He's talking about us here today. He's talking about the local church, that you might have power. And when we look at our God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and our God, our Father, three distinctive parts, yet one God, we understand that he desires for us a powerful and winning, fruit-filled life, full of a love that surpasses all that we could ever possibly fathom. And he wants to fill your cup with all of that until it overflows into everything that you do and everyone around you. How far? He says, until the full measure of all that he has to offer to us, that we would fully realize just how much love God has for us. Now the question is, do we desire a life beyond just salvation from our sins? Do we desire a life just beyond kind of scooting or skirting our way into heaven and living how we want to in any old way on earth until we get there? In other words, are we living beyond salvation from Jesus reconciling us with our sins, from Jesus blessing us on the cross and dying for our sins? Or are we ready to live a spirit-filled life full of holiness in the meantime, to take on more of God every day and allow him to overflow into our life, into all we do? You look around the world around us today, and we live in a world today, in a community, in a nation, in a world that needs more of God, that needs more of God. You know, last week as we were up here preaching, we had no idea what was going on in Texas. I didn't find out until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I was kind of relaxing with the family, and I got a tweet from somebody or some social media piece that said, you know, I think their first question was, hey, what is our security policy at the church? And I'm thinking, well, what's bringing that question about? And then he said, have you heard about what's happened in Texas? And I instantly hopped on social media and got the information. You know, when you see things like that, and you see the things that happen in Las Vegas, and you see poverty and famine and struggle, you know, it's obvious in our world that we need more of God. God, come on, we need more of you in our life. We need more of you in our churches. We need more of you in our hearts. You know, it suggests that the world is desperate for more of God, and there's a desperate need in God's church for more of God to be actively involved in the life of churchgoers, that we believe in Jesus Christ, But sometimes we get satisfied with sin. That we believe in Jesus Christ, but sometimes we live under the influence of our culture. We allow the culture to evangelize the church when God has called us to evangelize our culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes, as a church, we can get stale and stagnant and powerless, and we rely more on religion and institution than we do a relationship with God that changes our life from the moment we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts. That God wants to do a new work and turn our flesh into His holiness, to turn our sin problem into His miracles in our life. And quite frankly, for a lot of people, they look at the local church and they see sometimes people that might be lukewarm or people that might feel powerless as Christ followers. And it's sometimes easy that the church doesn't look any more different than the world looks. And the world looks at us and they desire something. They desire something in their hearts, but they don't know exactly what it is. That God would maybe pour out all of His fullness and spill out into their lives through you and through me. But oftentimes in the modern day local church, people on the outside of these walls, they look in, and not just Rolling Plains, but I'm talking about the local church around the world, and they're kind of sometimes saying, I don't know if I want some of that. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I'm interested or not. You know, in Matthew chapter 17, the disciples kind of had this experience on the mountain with Jesus. A couple of them went up with Jesus to the mountain. And in that experience, it's called the transfiguration of Jesus. The power of God was fully impressed upon His humanity. And there you saw His full deity in His humanity through God. The fullness of God falls upon Christ. The Bible describes Him as His face glows like the sun, His clothes are as white as light, and He is transformed, transfigured in front of their eyes. He is full of the power of God. He is God. He's God in the flesh, God incarnate. And in that moment, God's deity is very evident. All of His power is very evident in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when He comes down off that mountaintop, He experiences a church and a people that aren't living in the powerful life that God has called them to live. In Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14, when they came to the crowd, they being Jesus and some of the disciples, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. "Lord, would You have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought Him to Your disciples, but they could not heal Him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, I love this. "Hey, Jesus, why couldn't we drive that demon out?" And Jesus' reply was, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, garner this moment. Understand this moment. Some of the disciples were with Jesus, recognizing that Jesus is fully God. He's walking among them. Jesus' face is probably still radiating a little bit like the sun when He comes down. And His clothes probably still has a little bit of that afterglow from the transfiguration. He's walking down in the fullness of the power of God because He is God. And the disciples and the townsfolk, what you discover, are overpowered not by the presence of a powerful God, but they're overpowered by the problems and the enemies and the challenges of this world. They're just overwhelmed. And you can just sense in their voices a feeling of powerlessness, that they have a powerless life. How come this couldn't happen? Why is this going on? We tried, but nothing happened. What's going on? There's just this sense of powerlessness. And it can be the same that's said for you and me today. Is it possible that we can be saved in Christ, but not fully experience the power of God that comes with that relationship and the power of the Spirit of God? So I think there's three ways, and maybe you've experienced this too, that as Christ followers, we wind up living powerless lives. Living powerless lives. Three ways really quick here if you're taking notes. Number one, we live in fear over the circumstances of our life. We have Christ, but we still live in fear over the circumstances of our life. We live a timid life, waiting for the other shoe to drop, and whenever that bad news comes, we're just ready to crumble at the word or the name of that bad news. And this man is no different. He's overwhelmed by the challenges of his son. He's overwhelmed. And what I love about this is he decides to take his problem to the church. He takes his problem to the church. He takes his problem to the disciples. And so something inside of him said, these guys, these gals, they have something going on in their life that I want to be a part of, that I believe can help heal my son's problem of demon possession, of these seizures. And so he looks to the church to bring the power and the authority and the blessing and the healing touch of God into his life. That maybe they were different than the rest of the world with the power of God in them. But when he brings them to the disciples and the church, the disciples and the church, they crumble in powerlessness, even though they have Jesus. They have Jesus, but there's something missing. They have Jesus in their presence, but they lack the power to be able to fulfill what God has destined them to fulfill. Though we have Christ in our life, is it possible that we can still live in fear? Is it possible that a lot of us live in the fear of these present troubles, the anxiety of the unknown, a future that looks powerless to us and renders us timid and paralyzed? It's one of the struggles we have, though we might have Christ. You know, we might have Christ, we accept that we will always be a sinner. Though we have Christ, one of the powerless moments in our life is that we accept that we will always be a sinner. And in God's eyes, that's unacceptable because he's given you Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sins, and you are indwelt with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome your sin problem and to take on the holiness of God. We can't just render the sin in our life as just a part of life to say, well, you know, it's just another part of my human nature and justified and accepted and tolerated and celebrated. Where we let the world and the culture influence how we live and ignore his will and precepts and purposes and commands in our life. God says, may it never be. Paul's language in the New Testament, may it never be that way. May we believe that the Spirit of God has given us power to overwhelm our sin problem with the fullness of God's holiness, that there aren't certain sins out there that God can't redeem us from. That God can redeem us from all sin, that God can cleanse us and deliver holiness into our life as we give him our sin problem. And when we don't live like that, when we believe that you know, living a life of sin with Christ in our life is just, well, that's just a part of life, that goes against God's work and the power of the Holy Spirit. His power in the Holy Spirit comes into your life to say, listen, you're going to struggle with sin, but let's work on a lifestyle of holiness and not a lifestyle of sin. There's a difference between struggling in sin and living in sin. And God says, I want you to live in me and live for me because I've given you Christ and I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we live other than that, it makes for a weak life where the enemy just runs free and reigns free in our life and deceives us, and we wind up looking no different than the world. And then, therefore, the church winds up looking no different than the world. What's the third powerless moment for a lot of Christ followers? Number three is, if you're taking notes, we believe that God can't use us. We believe that God can't use us. We live in fear over the circumstances of our life. We accept that we will always be a sinner. And a third way is, we live powerlessly because we believe that God can't use us. We have Christ, but I'm not a world changer. I have Jesus living in me, but I can't be a people influencer. I have Jesus living in me, but I can't allow God to do that kind of thing through me. There's just no way. And we live a weak and powerless life. And so no wonder Jesus is a little bit frustrated with the disciples. Jesus got frustrated from time to time. And he got frustrated with the disciples and the town folk because of their lack of belief of the very power and presence of God. And he used that as a teaching moment for them, and 2,000 years later for you and for me. He says, with faith in the power of God, there's nothing you can't do. With faith in the power of God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God, and with God, nothing is impossible. Pastor Lethier reminded me that the Apostle Paul would ask all of us in Scripture, I believe it's in Acts, and he just asked this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in Christ? Now, I got to tell you might run into some quote-unquote Christ followers from time to time, and you just scratch your head with that question. Did you receive the power of the Holy Spirit when you received Christ? Help me, Jesus. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and say, come on, John. Did you receive the power of the Holy Spirit when you received Christ? And the answer is undoubtedly yes. We just haven't flipped on the switch. You look around church, you look around worship services, our church, local churches all around the globe, and we ought to be asking this question. Did you receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life when you said yes to Jesus? Now, the Bible says yes, but our actions and our thoughts and our words and our fears and our acceptance and tolerance of sin and our belief that God can't use us oftentimes says no. And so we're here to say, come on, God, Flip the switch in our life. Come on, God, come and do a fresh thing. Come on, God, breathe a fresh wind and a fresh fire into our life. We want more of you, God. We want more of your power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us a power and a love and a self-discipline." Amen. A power and a love. It's God's goal to give you a life filled with power of all of his fullness of love. You've been given the Holy Spirit to fill you with the full measure of God and to not live a timid life, to not live a weak life, to not live powerless, but to live in the power of God. I want that. Who wants that? Who wants 2 Timothy to be true in their life? A life filled with power and love and self-discipline. You know, it would be Paul's prayer, the apostle, from that scripture that he wrote, that we're just not satisfied with a little bit of God. You know, we're not satisfied with a little bit of Jesus in our life. You know, we need to be satisfied when Jesus comes fully into our life and when the power of the Holy Spirit is full in our life and everybody we come in contact is experiencing the same. And until that happens, we got a lot of work to do. We are that work that was begun that will be perfected until the day of Christ Jesus. Did you know that God is working to perfect you every single day of your life, post-Christ in your life, until Jesus comes back? And how does he do that? He does that in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we're going to be like Tim Allen. We're going to say, "Lord, I want more power. I want more of you in my life." There's a hymn. There's a hymn out there. And it says, "More love, more power. I want more of you in my life." So let's go there for the rest of the message. The Holy Spirit gives us what kind of power? Three kinds of power. The Holy Spirit in us gives us three kinds of power. First of all, the power of love for life circumstances. The power of love for life's circumstances. I need an amen from somebody, because does that make sense to somebody? Okay, all right. The power of love for life's circumstances. That we realize that we have an incredibly all-loving, powerful God in our life. He has all things in his hands, and not only does he love you, but he's capable and he's able to care for you in all things. He's for you and he's not against you. His love is unconditional. There's nothing that you can do to earn more of it, and there's nothing you can do to earn less of God's love. God's love is there, and it will always be there for you in your life, and that is a power source, a source of power that comes your way in life. There's power in love. I mean, to quote a great theologian, Huey Lewis in the news, he says, "It's the power of love, baby." I'm waiting for Michael J. Fox to come running through here chased by a DeLorean, right? It's the power of love. There's power in love. Not just any love, but the love that God gives us. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Come on. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Come on, God. "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Come on, God. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When you're loved like that, it builds confidence. When you're loved like that, it builds courage. When you're loved like that, it fills you with an incredible source of power. When you have a belief that the supreme love of God indwells you, then therefore you can resolve in your life that nothing is going to happen to you or separate you from that love, because you know that God is your loving provider and nothing can stand against you. It allows you to become an overcomer according to God's word, to conquer the challenges in your life through God's power, and to give your whole life to him with courage and confidence. It gives you a whole new perspective on the stuff that comes at you in life, or when our future feels a little bit uncertain. And while the world is freaking out, you know, while the world is freaking out and we quickly grow into despair over stuff like what this dad and this disciple are dealing with, you could be like Jesus and saying, "Hey, what's the deal here? God's got this. Whoa." You can come off that mountain. "Hey, what's the deal? We just need to pray and just trust and have the peace that passes all human understanding and to look at this and say, hey, God's got this." And when you live like that in the middle of your trials and your challenges, the world's going to look at you and say, "Well, how do you do it under the circumstances that you're living in?" And you look at them and say, "I'm filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. When I'm that way, I don't live under my circumstances. I live above them because I have the fullness of the full measure of God living in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit that is beyond the Jesus conversation. It is Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our life. Number two, the power of holiness over our sin problem. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of love for life circumstances and the power, number two, of holiness over your sin problem and my sin problem. Did you realize you have the same power of the Spirit of God living in you that raised Jesus Christ from the grave and raised him from the dead and raised him into life? That same power lives in you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, Paul's writing, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, notice it says the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. He will give life to your flesh. He will give life to your sin problem, your humanity, your struggles, and your challenges. And the Holy Spirit power is going to come and overcome us, overcome our flesh, overcome our sin. God gave you Christ to save you, and he gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify you, to not leave you in a life of sin, to not leave us in places where we tolerate sin or accept sinful lifestyles in our own life. This isn't to judge others. This is to take a look in the mirror at our own lives and to say, you know what? I just don't need to accept this anymore. I just don't need to let sin and the enemy run my life anymore. May it never be. Jesus is in my life. The power of the Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to make me holy. He wants me to be made over in his image. And so I'm not just going to accept that this is human nature to live in sin. No, may it never be. The Holy Spirit is going to change the very nature of who we are. The Bible says when the Spirit of God enters your life, you become the Holy Spirit's dwelling place. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. You become a temple of the Most High God. And I'm not going to be satisfied living for anything else according to the world or the flesh or our culture. I'm going to live a life of discipline according to God's will and precepts and commandments in my life. I'm going to let God maybe clean up the words that I use. I'm going to let God clean up maybe some of the movies that I watch or the television shows that I choose to see. I'm going to let God clean up how I invest my time and my priorities and my talents and my treasures. And then all of a sudden, your friends are going to look at you and say, what happened? What happened to you? And you're going to say, I'm under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm living for the fullness of God in my life. I'm living for holiness in my life. The third thing of power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of love for life circumstances, the power of holiness over our sin problem. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives us the power of faith that nothing is impossible for you or for me. I love the disciples' response to Jesus' frustration. They just ask, well, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast the demon out of that boy? And in those words, you can just kind of feel a sense of defeat. You can kind of feel a sense of powerlessness. You know, they know that they have the power of Jesus Christ in them, walking with them in their lives. And oftentimes, I believe our greatest challenge as the American church is that we thank God for Jesus, that he raised us from the grave and he saved us from our sins, but we live like he's still in the grave. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in your life now, that can eradicate your sin problem, that can fill you with faith and not fear, and in this case, do amazing things in you and through you. Jeremy Camp has a song out right now called Same Power. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that calls the dead to live. It's in us. It's in us. It's the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's in us. It lives in us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, quite simply, God would say to you, nothing therefore is impossible for you. All things for you are possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. You are filled with God's supernatural nature. To see God's preferred future, to be able to dream God's dream, to be able to see visionary signs of God in your life and other people's lives, to be able to experience signs and wonders. I mean, we're talking about power here. A powerful individual, a powerful church, a powerful family in the name of Christ and Jesus, to be able to pray for people to get healed and they get healed. Is it possible? You say, well, that doesn't happen today. Really? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us? Your imagination can't go that far? I mean, if the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, then nothing is impossible. Is it possible you can lay hands on somebody and God's power through God in you can be prayed over that person and they can be healed? Is it possible? Absolutely. The problem is we need a little bit more imagination because we box God in. We sell God short. Oh, we can't do those kinds of things. Is it possible that we can pray for healing for somebody and the Spirit of God can heal them? Is it possible that we can be a world changer, people influencer in our life? Is it possible we can lead a person out of the bondage of addiction? Is it possible that God can use us to lead somebody to Christ and salvation? Is it possible? I think all those are easier than raising somebody from the dead. How about you? And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So as a church, we need to embrace the power of God and the manifestations of that and what it looks like in the local church and not be afraid of it, not shy back from it. In the fullness of power and the Spirit of God that lives in us. It's not us, it's God. It's God living in us and through us. You see, many Christ followers don't believe that God can do these kinds of things through us. And sadly, we don't even desire him to do so. We'd rather just trust Jesus and be left alone. Trust Jesus and put our own schedule together. Trust Jesus and do what we want from that point on. But God didn't come to just save you. He came to sanctify you and use you for his kingdom purposes in a powerful, powerful way. I love that Jesus responds to the man of this child and the disciples in the village. And he says, listen, your challenges are unbelief. Your challenges are, you just have so little faith. He says, you have an imagination problem. You can't possibly fathom what God might do. He says, you have a faith problem. It's not a God problem. God's not the one that's got the problem. He's saying, listen, it's on you right now. You're struggling to be able to have a spirit-filled imagination that all things are possible. You're locked into what your brain and your logical mind can conceive of. He says, with the power of God, there is nothing that you can't do. I want that kind of faith. I want a faith that's larger than a mustard seed, not just the size of a mustard seed. I want more love and more power. Oh, God, I want more of you in my life. God, I want to grow in holiness. Come on, God. I want to bear more fruit in what matters the most for your kingdom, God. Come on, God. Let's therefore pray in our hearts and our spirits. Come on, God. Come on, God, and beg him to fill us with more power, to give us time and a desire to study more of his word and to read the stories of faith where God shows up in powerful ways, to anticipate signs and wonders that they're possible around us and we're going to open our eyes to him, to step out in faith and believe that God can do the impossible through us, to speak to the mountain of problems in front of you and watch God move them. You know, we need to spend less time talking to God about our problems and spend more time talking to our problems about our God. And when we embrace God's word, that we can speak to the mountain in front of us in the name of God and that God can move it because of our faith, then we'll begin to experience the touch of power that God has promised for us and that is available to us all. Is it possible that God can move the mountain of problems in front of you? You bet. I don't know what they are, but you do. Come on, God. Fill me not with a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and holiness and belief. Our inner Tim Allens that would say, I want more power. More power. I'm not satisfied. I want more power. I want more possibility. I want more belief, more faith, more of your love in my life. And let that be the source of my power and strength. Here are a couple of action steps for you. Number one, cry out to God to fill you with his fullness. Cry out to God in prayer. Come on, God, fill me daily. Wake up and pray that prayer. Number two, plug in. You ever had that experience where you're trying to figure out why the lamp won't work and you change the bulb and you look at the inner workings of the lamp and then you forgot to check whether it was plugged in or not? You see, quite frankly, a lot of us scurry around and we wonder why we're living in fear. We wonder why sin gets the best of us and we wonder why we just feel like we can't do anything for Christ. And the problem is, you know, we try to look at all these other issues and symptoms and really we just haven't plugged in. We haven't plugged into the power of God, the source of power and strength that God has for us. Let's do that this day and see what God can do. Come on, God. We want more of your power. Amen. I want to invite you to a time of prayer, and there are prayer cards in front of you. There are joys and concerns you might have. You can put those on.